Colin is the missionary, he's an evangelist from California. Can we please give him a hand? Amen. I'm going to be a missionary and doing great things. So, can you have to all of our having churches in this month? Okay, he has been to quite a few churches, and after here, I have my sister-in-law or thereabout, he's going somewhere again. And then he will take the way to Eduguri for mission work. Please, come on, put our hands together. Amen. Let's put our hands together for Jesus.
Thank you, brother. I love you. Thank you very much. If you can please be seated. My name is Heishimu, and I want to thank your pastor for hosting. With Daisy. And for you being here to hear the gospel. If you would turn your attention, please, into the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter number 16. The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 16. Everyone able to understand my accent, my English? Okay. And we'll start our reading at verse number 13. And we'll pick up our message in verse number 17 and 18. And it's entitled, Acknowledge Such. Acknowledge Such. Or you could say, Recognize Such. So the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, Watch. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave. And I need these words. Be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits, the first believers of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves. In the Old King James, it says, addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that you also submit to such, you help them, and to everyone who works and labors with us. I am glad, Paul says, about the coming of Stephanas, Fortunatus and Achaicus. For what was lacking on your part, the fellowship, the ministry, the service, they supplied. Verse 18, for they refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge such men. Acknowledge such men. What our Lord Jesus Christ is teaching us here through the Apostle Paul is that we are to esteem and we are to mark those servants of God that are extremely useful in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we're not to be envious of them and try to slander them and try to pick out some type of fault to hinder their work in our minds and excuse our own unbelief. That's what people often do if they see someone more faithful than themselves. I have been guilty of that in times past myself. I must confess that honestly, but it's not the way to go. And the Old Testament is an illustration in the book of Genesis, I believe chapter 26, but I could be mistaken. But it's where Isaac was finding water everywhere he dug. And the Lord had blessed him 100-fold. And it was a king, I believe, named Abimelech, who was very envious of Isaac's blessing, of his ability to reap and to get from the earth that which would satisfy his prospering flocks. And it's the message I learned there was rather than envying what Isaac was doing, he should have gone through God himself and been blessed by God. Because each of us has the unsearchable riches of Christ. So his instruction is to mark out these men and women who are faithful as examples, esteem them, and follow them, and be just like them. And the first thing I want us to say is that me and you, we often need two heroes. Is our heroes are often the men of the flesh and the men of this present world. If you turn into the book of 1 John, chapter number 2, there is too much of a love of a Dangote here as Christians. There's too much of an envy of their position in this world, the things of this world. If they can play sports, if they have money, if they're good looking, if they drive a nice car. But all of this means, my brothers, my sisters, that we need new heroes. We've got the wrong kind of heroes. And here is the problem with that. That instead of esteeming Mary Slessor, there are people in the Church of God back home that are esteeming Lady Gaga. Instead of esteeming a man like David Livingstone, who gave up his life in missions on African soils as a white man who loved black people as equal human beings, something that was very rare in the mind of even the missionaries in his day. Me and you are, well, I won't say me, I'm not, but there are many who are esteeming false prophets. And we need to get serious, we need to get real. He put a mark on those people's names in Corinthians that were helpful, that were useful. And our problem is this, it's 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says, do not love the world. Me and you, I'll include myself, are too big of idolaters. There is too much of an interest in money in California with people associated with my ministry. Now I understand I'm a foreigner, I'm a newcomer, I'm from another place. And there must be something interesting about that, but California's not the kingdom of heaven. There's nothing that you can't have in Jalingo spiritually from God that you need to travel all the way into California just to get. I've come to bring you a little knowledge of the Word of God, but it didn't come from California. It came from the Holy Spirit on my knees, sir.
It was given by the shed blood of Christ. So we need to take our eyes off of the world, and being in California, I'm telling you, it's very hard. That Maserati, sir, you can get with just a little bit of ingenuity and what people call luck. The door is open. Apple and Google and Facebook, and there's jobs and there's money. But that's why it's hard for a rich person to enter into the kingdom of heaven. There's too much stuff. There's too much love of the world. And he's telling us, and I'm talking about Christians, I think we make a big mistake and we think that the only people who are lost in Galingo are the Muslims. Yes, they need Jesus Christ, but so do our churches. Our worship is too self-centered. It is so based on how it makes me feel instead of the doctrine of God in the Bible. I love to see that red hymn book. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. This hymn book has the doctrine of the gospel, right? It has the truth of the Word of God. That's what they sang. It was not just an emotional, I want to feel good, I want to be happy, I want to feel like I went to the church, but I want to worship God and learn something so I can be obedient unto Him. I want to love Him for who He truly is. And with your beautiful voice, my sister, you can hit the notes. Let's get doctrine. Let's get doctrine in our music and stop of the worship of ourselves. Because that's what it is. It's we're after a feeling, we're after excitement, we're after applause maybe, we're after feel good. But do not love the world or the things of the world. Let me tell you something. If the world is pursuing, it's not the kingdom of God. There's not one thing an unbeliever is chasing after in his filthiness and in his nasty flesh that's been promised unto us in the gospel as a spiritual gift from God. A spiritual pursuit, a spiritual joy, holiness. Not to be more holy than somebody else, but to bring glory unto Jesus Christ. Our forgiveness, not so I can live in sin, but so I can love Him with all my heart. These things of the world and of the flesh are contrary to what's happening in the Spirit. And that's why in the book of John, chapter 6, that great chapter, He fed them with the loaves and the fishes, and they came by 20,000. They chased Him across the sea. They tried unto make Him a king, but when He kept talking, that the words I speak is spirit. Except you eat me, you eat my flesh, you drink, it's spiritual. There's nothing physical in this kingdom. You can be a cripple and the closest man to God on planet Earth. You can be the poorest human being in Jalingo and have the relationship with Christ that brings you exceeding joy that would put all of us in California unto shame. It's not your physical condition. Not what your house looks like. It isn't what your car looks like. It isn't even, and I like my clothing. If it's in the budget, I'm going to buy it. But the budget is commanded by God. I was thinking about before I came, it was a church that's picking a check for $3,000. And I have been praying for some of my Sovereign Grace brethren to support this ministry. And I say praying, not begging, not groveling, sir. I'm a messenger of my Father. But this man, he sent me $3,000 in the name of the church. And I think it was a church, sir, I was at 15 years ago, and I haven't heard from them since. Even the pastor there has retired out of ministry. He quit. But after I wrote back to the new pastor, it was a man I had met in the UK, and I didn't think that he would actually help me. He said he didn't know a word about it. And so the more I got to thinking, I think that what happened is a man in that church on the secret, he gave $3,000 of his own money, and to hide who it came from, he just said it's from the church. That's giving. That's how I support my ministry. People I don't know, people I never met, people I never asked. But my point here is this. And I know I had a point, sister. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the one that's got glory, he has called me and you unto a ministry. He has not called us to be in love with this present world. He's called us to something spiritual and great that is greater than anything this world can possibly give us, because as I plan to preach at the next church, it's the rivers of water that come flowing up from the inside. And when this man, he gave me this gift, it was a bonus. Because as long as I had a return ticket, and I did, I'm coming back unto Nigeria. Whether I got the money for tomorrow or not. Because the mission is not about this world. If you believe in your heart that God called you to do something, and you leave everything else with God. It's not about our comfort. It's not about our ease. It's not about fancy cars. It's not about recognition. It's not about being famous. It's not even about our children, our wives, and our husbands. The Apostle Paul said that those who have wives should be as if you had none. It's another kingdom. If you can see it, if you can touch it, that's not it. And if anyone loves the world, if he's occupied with the silver and gold, if he's occupied with how he looks, with the fashion, with his health, with the things of this world that unbelievers are chasing, there is not an unbeliever on planet Earth that wants to be sick. But he's saying that you and I are occupied with something else. How to bring God glory if I'm saved. How to worship. As your pastor was telling me, if you just had two funerals, right? And you want to die very well. It's not that I won't die. I will die. But I want to die believing the gospel and giving God glory. It's not this world at all. Not what you can see with God. It's in your heart. It's in the heart of other people.
For if anyone loves of the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We need some new heroes.
Is that Sister Mary Fletcher? That's a marvelous story. And I'm just a little missionary. If I can find air condition, I'll sleep there. If I can't, I won't. But she came here with her bare feet in 1870. A single white woman came into Nigeria to spread the gospel of sovereign grace. Left her home. And then when she got here and she saw the murder of little twins, it was no I decree, I declare. No, she gathered them up into her arms and told the people to stop because Jesus Christ is on the throne. And he counts the children precious. There's a girl named Amy Carmichael. It's another white single woman. Now, are you be single? Are we some singles here? Is anybody here single? What a blessing. What a privilege. What an honor. To be sold out and unencumbered in the service of Jesus Christ, your Redeemer. What a privilege we have. Nothing else but him. That's what Paul said. But this white woman went into India and it's a caste system. So if you like me, like, that's my California thing. Like, that's my Nigerian thing. If you like skin in India at that time, and even now in part, they valued you. But if you're dark skinned and poor, by the age of 6 or 7 or 8 or 9, you're sold into prostitution by your parents. Wow. And when the sister saw that, she started taking into her home. And then when other missionaries came, she worked with them. She submitted under the authority of the pastor. But she spent her life and she died there. That's the kind of heroes that me and you need. And I'm not talking about everybody's a missionary out in some field or some foreign country. You can be a housewife and serve God. That's right. When you make it not about your family, but the family of the Son of God. Did you catch that? We do ourselves a dishonor if we make our life to revolve around ourselves instead of Jesus Christ. And as a missionary, wherever you are, in Calcutta, in Nigeria, in UA, it don't matter. What your gift is, that's his business. He gifted you, but that you give him your heart and your life. Right? That's the kind of hero that we need. And then point two is just this. The same Christ that died for Mary Celeste and the Virgin Mary and Paul and Peter, he had to wash away Mary's sins too. He had to redeem her, or she split tail wide open. It was all on him. It was never on anybody else. There's no Savior but one. Is that right? But guess what? As I began to contemplate after he restored my soul from the bondage of corruption and the sewer of sin, and he forgave my transgressions and gave me power over my sin, and so my soul was happy, I began to beg. Then he made my life happy. I couldn't hold back something I had. My life is not my own. You sing that song, sister? My life is not my own. To him I belong. I give myself. I give myself. Yeah, that one. We mean the words. The whole thing. Because he gave the whole thing. You understand me? Have you ever been happy in Jesus? You ever been forgiven of your sin? You ever had your bondage broken? Your slavery to sin conquered? Have you wrestled with the devil, sir? You know he's stronger than me and you, right? So clever. And he'll heap up transgressions and transgressions and guilt until you turn away from God himself. And when you fall that far, and he recovers. Now you got something in your heart like that prostitute woman. And the Pharisees were pointing at her and saying that he is allowing this sinner to touch him. That's the only people who touch Jesus Christ. Guilty, vile, helpless, weak, spotless Lamb of God. Full atonement can't be. Hallelujah. It's in the red book. Hallelujah. What a saying. It's true, right? I'm saying that. Thank you, sir. Once you realize that the Son of God has done as much for me and you as anyone that's ever lived. That's God. He died for me. And when we could not get out of our mess, it was 100% God. It was not, as he put it here, he waited on me to get there. Oh, oh no. I realized after he recovered, that if he left me only one thing to do, and he did 999, I'm going to hell. He did it all, right? Now, if he did all that, he knew ought unto love. I got enough reason to live for Jesus Christ. But there's something else, my sister. It's the power is also yours, too. In the book of Galatians, in chapter number 3, please, if you turn here, this will be helpful to you. I can keep this. Thank you. But in order
how to be an example.
I mean, in order to not just to look at somebody else, Mary Slessor, Amy Carmichael, David Livingstone, William Wilberforce, John Calvin, instead of just looking at these men and women and being idolaters and being like, I'm off the hook since this person is so great. He's really calling us to acknowledge them and learn and to be just like them. But sometimes, me and you, we look at what they've done and we look at ourselves and we say, it cannot be. But here's what this text says in Galatians chapter 3 in verse number 2. This only I want to learn from you. This is the main point, Paul is saying, of my argument, and it'll make everything clear if you get this and understand this with power. Did you receive the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the miracle working Spirit, the power of a brand new life Spirit, the Spirit that made you happy and filled you with joy, the Spirit that makes you and I to see Jesus Christ, the Spirit who is God on the inside, the Spirit who is everything unto us, or I cannot see Christ and understand the blessed gospel. The Spirit that I need more than anything else in this world, the one thing needful. If you get that Spirit by the working of the law or by the hearing of faith. And here's why this is so important. Everything that you and I need to be supernatural. Because that's the Christian life. It's impossible with me. It's only possible with God. A holy life is only possible with God. To be sincere and have a pure heart, that's the work of God. Right? That's not human. But listen, if I receive the Spirit by the works of the law, I'm a little bit off the hook because I cannot work like everybody else. Not as good as they are, not as moral in my character. But if I got the Spirit by hearing the gospel of the finished work of Christ, that's a force of a different color. That's a whole other matter. Now, this is what I'm saying. Everything is that it requires for God Almighty to enter in you with supernatural power to live for His glory and lay your life down for His namesake has been performed by Jesus at the cross when He shed His pure, perfect blood for our filthy sins. And having paid that price, just by hearing what He accomplished at the cross, the Spirit of the living God, not some tiny spirit who's just a little helper, but the one that makes you more than a conqueror through Him that loves you, that Spirit is now yours free of charge. Oh, this night I only have 1,009. But the Spirit is free. If you don't have enough to put in the offering basket to even make you feel like you're giving, it really feels like you're barely contributing hardly nothing. Jesus, He gave it all. His precious blood answered the price. His blood is the reason the Spirit comes down from God the Father. Ain't that right? That means I have access unto God. And as weak as I am, I can preach. Sir, I sit there like I'm going to be slaughtered.
and I read from Jeremiah, and I read from Ezekiel, and the Almighty God says, I put my word in your mouth. You'll speak every word I say. You won't be scared of them, and I'll make you overcome them. And I get up and go into the pulpit. Utterly nothing but through God. I'm bold. And I'm saying you can be that way too. Don't just look at your heroes in the faith. These new spiritual children of God, taking your eyes off the filthy lucre of this world and the works of the flesh that everyone's craving. But look at these heroes now and understand, point two, I can be like you. I can lay my life down. I can be holy. I can subdue my sin. I don't have to live in my fleshly lust. I don't have to murmur at the weather or the circumstances or even the evil mosquitoes. And I hate those ones. I hate the females. That's the one that bites you. The males are all right. They only eat nectar. But can you understand? I can do all things through Christ. So can you. And it's free. It's paid for by Him. That's how you got saved in the beginning. Because you didn't get saved by putting anything here in this basket. You and I got saved by hearing He paid my sin debt. And He'll give me the Spirit to conquer the sin in my life. And then we trust in Him. And we got to grab your life. It's always free. It's always by grace. It's always the work of God. Now, point three is this. I only have 3 points. It's an exhortation. It is time for me and you, not just me, not just you, but us both, it's time for us to be examples like Stephanus and Fortunatus and Acadicus. It is time for us not just to look at them and take our eyes off of the carnal things. It's not just time to be like them in the power of the Holy Spirit, but it's also time for other people in Dalingo and throughout Nigeria to look at the men and women here and say, I want to be like them. That's what time. As while they have slept, Scripture says that the enemy has come in and has sown thorns and tares and all of the thistles. And the early Pentecostalism in the Sudan Inland Mission, the SIM, it was not as extravagant with these 8 miracles as we see today. Nigeria has been swallowed by false prophets with their fake miracles. And my sisters, it's time for us to stand up and lead by example and say, it isn't in the Bible. I don't believe it. That sister Mary Slessor, as I said, she didn't come here, I decree and I declare, and you shall, and I command God, and I say to you God, and I declare to you God. That was it on her kid. That woman came here with a Bible, Christ in her heart, and she built a school and an orphanage. Are you here? Instead of decreeing wealth, let's figure out how to maximize
your rich resources of land and hard labor. That'll get something built in that journey. We need to quit all of the fake stuff, sir, and get to business and be practical. As a young man, I believe, who quit school in order to go into the ministry, is the man who helped me learn the gospel. He told me to finish college. And I didn't think I'd ever need it, but I'm glad I did it, because I still had enough time to learn my blessed gospel, and on campus I had a place to preach it unto my professors and everyone around me. Good decision. But now they tell us stuff that makes no sense at all. And they make us put our confidence, our system, in things which don't happen. That's the fact. I was preaching last night, and was some ministers, and they asked me to pray for the sick, and I always pray that they go see the doctor. And people think I'm so happy. If my sister has rightly said, there are more miracles, not miracles, but there's more things being done in hospitals in countries that don't even pretend to believe God than by all of these prophets in Nigeria combined. When Buhari was sick, he didn't have to lay those and have somebody put hands on him. He went to London and got medical attention. And then some prophet, he flew in there and said, I pronounce you healed. Is the doctor's help a little bit? Just a little bit. It's time for us to be spiritual leaders. Open our eyes. Then we'll have something to tell these Muslims that it won't sound so stupid. It'll make sense unto them, because that's how Christianity spread in Nigeria. And I'm afraid, sir, this nation must be conquered again by the gospel, because an enemy has crept in here with lying signs and wonders. And often, is what people say in these last days, and we are in the last days. But the last days have been going on for 2,000 years, and they may continue another 2,000 years. And I know everyone says it can't get no worse than this, but that's what Mark Luther said 500 years ago. They thought that the Antichrist was the Pope, but he's bigger than that. He's anti-Christ. Even if he's a Pentecostal preacher, he's anti-Christ. I'm telling you. And so I don't want us to think that there's an excuse. I don't want us to think that the work of saving Nigeria's on somebody else, or he'll send other missionaries, or he'll send somebody, or he'll raise up somebody else. It's on me and you who heard this truth tonight. You've heard from God, huh? In the Bible. And the illustration I want to leave you with is in the book of Luke, chapter 18, verse number 6 through 8. And this is the parable of the unjust judge. And so the widow woman, she's going unto this judge, avenge me of my adversary. And the scripture says that he don't care about God or man. But she's constantly in his ear. And so after a while, he finally says,
just to get this woman off my back, I'm going to plead her case and bring in some justice. He tells us that parable because me and you, sir, are to be that way with God. I'm not to say that things are just too bad. I'm not to say it's just too big of a mess and I don't even know where to get started. How about praying unto God? He says this, verse number 6 through 8. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall God not avenge his own elect? And he has an elect, a chosen people from the foundation of the world, a particular and distinct people that he decided to save before we were ever born, and he saves us entirely by grace. Who cry out day and night to him, oh, he bears long with them for his own reasons. But look at verse number 8. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily if we keep crying out. But here's the thing that gets me. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? He's saying it's your fault if there's no revival in Nigeria. He's saying it is your fault if the Almighty God does not speak with power and revive his work in this nation and all throughout Africa. But you see, in the West, we sent the early missionaries and then we left y'all unto yourselves. And when the government kicked out the missionaries and closed down the missionary schools, instead of finding a way to help and make sure that the gospel kept going, all we got concerned about, sir, was a brand new car and a big fat house and our children. And the pure gospel that was here is gone. So I'm calling you, my brothers, my sisters, the examples in Jalingo unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Let this group of people rise up. Let me and you go do the work. Let somebody look at us and say, I need to get like that. It's our time, brothers and sisters. It's our time. And to look up and make no excuses because we still have God. People tell me you need money to do ministry.
You don't. No, sir.
But you need God in Jesus Christ. If you need the power of the Holy Ghost, if you need faith that can't tolerate things as they are, and so you beg, let me do something. Lord, raise up somebody else.
And we're going to speak as we begin to appreciate God and thank God.